Track 11, The Secret World of Stanta. Stanford Training Area has for decades been a military training zone, mostly closed to the public, though famous for being the place where much of TV favourite Dad's Army was filmed. But it's far from a devastated, pockmarked wasteland, as Sebastian Oak discovers.
It is probably the largest, most significant piece of Breckland scenery left remaining in East Anglia, and it appears on TV most Saturday evenings. We're so familiar with the sight of deadly frontline troops, at least in Captain Mannering's opinion, storming across heathland, accompanied by background explosions and a wailing siren. Here, many of the outside scenes of Dad's Army were shot, including the dramatic closing sequence. The much-loved comedy may have been fictitious, but the truth about this special landscape just north of Thetford is not much different. The 25,000 acres of the Stanford training area are indeed under military use, but without disrespect to Corporal Jones, Private Pike and the others, of a rather more serious and professional kind. This is a live-fire training ground established in the Second World War to prepare troops for D-Day, and it has been used to set the pace for armed forces about to be deployed to theatres of war ever since. The Ministry of Defence's Stanford training area, known as Stanta, contains three mock-up training villages, one of them modelled in Middle Eastern style and built in 2009 to prepare soldiers going to Afghanistan. Many servicemen and women have had vital practice here over the years, including Army and RAF regiments, but also Officer Training Corps personnel, cadets, and even police firearms teams. There are multiple firing ranges designed for weaponry from small arms to heavy machine gun, up to mortar, artillery, and even fire from Apache attack helicopters. Taking the brunt of these assaults is the aptly named Impact Area at the core of Stanta. You really would not want to be there. It's regularly a target and is left somewhat scarred with craters and bare ground. It may come as a surprise, though, to learn that this seemingly brutal treatment actually does little lasting harm to nature, indeed providing instead the perfect setting for a host of rare Breckland plants, invertebrates, and even birds. The apparent contradiction can be explained by history. Traditionally, the land here was cultivated for an occasional arable crop, then left to slowly revert to grassland before being stocked, grazed right down, and cultivated again. The process was a continual cycle of ground disturbance that crucially, regularly left patches of bare ground, leading directly to the development of a unique and adapted community of plants and animals. Traditional farming methods died out during the 20th century, but the pattern was then more or less replicated by heavy grazing from rabbits. But from the 1980s, the rabbit population declined and the Stanta grassy heaths started changing, turning into tall swards that pushed out the smaller, more interesting plants. The only things that helped maintain variety was firing practice by big guns, hideout digging, and the deliberate cultivation of some pieces of ground to benefit the stone curlew. Stanta is certainly recognised as important for nature. In fact, 93% of the training area is designated as a site of special scientific interest. Much of it is also a special protection area for bird life, or a special area of conservation for its wider value. The most significant feature may be the very large extent of Breckland grassy heath, but there are also old oak woods that have not been touched for years, plus additional patches of standing deadwood, always good for wildlife, and a variety of wetland habitats, notably the fluctuating meres, the River Wissey, and a number of long-standing glacial ponds. It is a rich mosaic of habitats. According to ecologists working for the MOD's Defence Infrastructure Organisation, DIO, which manages training sites like this across the country, there are woodlark, nightjar and goshawk here, as well as stone curlew. The woodland is important for several bat species, notably the scarce barbastelle, while great crested newts make their home in the ponds. But it's the perhaps less glamorous species that really set this place apart. There are unusual invertebrates, such as the brush-thighed seed-eater beetle and the Breckland leatherbug, and plant specialities such as burr medic, sickle medic, purple stem cat's tail, fine-leaved sandwort, and rare speedwells. The DIO's ecologists work with academics, tenant farmers, and volunteers to do their best for everything the military shares its space with. Amongst their collaborators is Dr. Rob Hawkes, who recently completed a PhD at the University of East Anglia, focusing largely on stanta. The military are incredibly involved in conservation, and there's a long history of engagement with naturalists, he says. And they do have a responsibility, because so much of the land is SSSI, to keep the habitats in favourable condition. His PhD research set out to measure just how important ground disturbance was to the ecology of Breckland. I was inspired by the history of the management of the site and was interested in seeing if modern agricultural machinery could mimic the old farming and natural processes and help create more complexity in terms of habitats. Rob devised a programme of deliberate deep cultivation and lighter rotivation to develop a pattern of plots with various levels of disturbance. Supported by essential agri-environment funding, the tenant farmers did the actual groundwork. And as expected, the bare ground plots drew in stone curlew for nesting and feeding, but also woodlark and common curlew. Tellingly, though, the regime literally doubled the populations of characteristic Breckland species of invertebrate and plant. It pointed decisively to ground disturbance being the absolute key to restoring and boosting nature on the grassy heathland.